This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The WWE announced this morning that they just inked a deal with Netflix for 10 years, $5 billion to air their weekly show, Raw.
Yeah. Monday Night Raw has been a part of, I guess you could say, linear TV now for 31 years. This completely changes the landscape.
It's a pretty historic move, I got to tell you. This new version of WWE with Nick Khan and Triple H at the helm, they're really making their imprint.
To be the first movers with Netflix live on a consistent basis, 52 weeks a year, we think it's a great deal.
Yesterday, WWE announced a landmark broadcasting deal. One that may very well change the shape of not just WWE, but professional wrestling altogether.
Within the industry, it was very much like, bloody hell, that happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is as much a big story for the media world as it is for the wrestling world.
It still feels weird that Monday Night Raw is not going to be on cable.
Since that announcement, I've been speaking to experts, trusted voices, and key figures in and around sports entertainment to further understand what all of this means and the impact that this change will have, not just to the wrestling landscape, but even further.
They're seeing the writing on the wall and going, well, we need to strike now, otherwise we're going to be playing catch up.
When this program moves to Netflix, that would bring us to a crashing halt.
My name is Tom Campbell, and this is a Cultaholic Wrestling Special Report.
Yesterday would have been big enough anyway because there was the announcement that The Rock is now on the board of directors of TKO.
Aidan Gibbons is editor-in-chief at Cultaholic.com.
Half an hour later, bombshell news, WWE Raw from January 2025 is going to Netflix. That's not all though, for the UK specifically and internationally, basically everywhere but the United States, all WWE programming, including SmackDown, NXT and all those premium live events, they're going to Netflix too. Beginning in 2025, it'll be like sort of dependent on TV deals around the globe. I believe in the UK, it will be from January 2025 because the deal with TNT Sports expires at the end of this year. Can't happen in the United States just yet though, because SmackDown's got a new deal with the USA Network, NXT is going to CW, and premium live events, they air on Peacock until at least 2026. For CW and SmackDown, that's 2029 because they're brand new deals basically.
My name's Kate. I'm Miss Kate Fave. I'm a podcaster and content creator at Fightful. It still feels weird that Monday Night Raw is not going to be on cable. Like, so that layer of it is a surprise. And then on top of it, their name was kind of thrown around under the radar a little bit. I know Fightful had mentioned them as a player, but it felt like Amazon, I think, was the last one that we had heard as a more real possibility. Obviously, their stuff is already on Peacock. I think the name Netflix, especially not being affiliated with a TV rights holder, definitely took me for surprise, for sure.
I'm Brandon Thurston, the editor and owner of WrestleNomics, and we cover the business of pro wrestling, including WWE. We know the deal is worth $5 billion over 10 years. There's a lot of caveats to that, but that's an average annual value of $500 million a year. This is a 10-year deal with Netflix having the option to cancel the deal after 5 years, and they have the option to extend the deal by an additional decade. So this will either be a 5-year deal or it'll be a 10-year deal, or it'll be a 20-year deal. Depends on what the viewership is like and what they see as the return on their investment. They're going to pay $500 million a year for it, so they're going to try to generate advertising revenue and subscriber revenue off of that. It's up to Netflix. This is as much a big story for the media world as it is for the wrestling world, in that this is Netflix, who's only dabbled in live streaming. This is weekly, year-round content that they're going to be broadcasting, which is a big thing that the media world has been speculating on for a long time.
My name is BJ Colangelo. I am an entertainment writer and critic, and I am the lead evening news editor at Slash Film. Netflix has been trying to get into the live event space for a while, knowing that this is the one area in sort of the streaming wars they've been lacking, because everyone else does some sort of live event. I also think that they're realizing that the landscape of the cable to cord cutting streaming world, those lines are starting to blur. We're seeing television as we once knew it go away more and more. So that void is going to need to be filled by streamers. So I think they're seeing the writing on the wall and going, well, we need to strike now. Otherwise, we're going to be playing catch up. They did do the big comedy show with Chris Rock that did fine. They did this Netflix Cup thing, which was Formula One racing and golf and comedy. And it had very shoddy production value to put it kindly. In Netflix's eyes, this is a great deal for them because WWE is a well-oiled machine. They can just scoop up the entire company. They don't have to do anything. They're just a new host for them, so to speak.
Murray Emanuel is the CEO of TKO and, of course, of Endeavor as well. The filing said over $5 billion over 10 years.
Correct. Well, all I say is that we are in line with the market's expectations of where our step up would be. And the only other thing I would say is it's Netflix. They're the global leader, best company with regard to sports entertainment. And this is kind of the next iteration as they go to live. I think that this is an important step for them in their AVOD service and in their subscription service.
What has been the reaction?
Within the industry, it was very much like, bloody hell, that's happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wall Street was very happy because it just means lots more money for shareholders and stuff. So TKO stock has really struggled since basically the company was formed in September 2023. The market value has been about billions down to what they were expecting with the combination of WWE and UFC. Because this deal with Raw is in line with expectations, stock in TKO shot up. It's the hot thing to buy right now. As of 10 minutes ago, up 15.79% to around $89.63.
So it stayed up. Obviously, there was a massive spike yesterday.
It has stayed up.
I think that the market is probably not completely understanding the deal, probably thinks the deal is worth a little bit more than I think it's worth. But I think the stock market is more than anything responding to, oh my God, Netflix. Netflix is so futuristic and it's a streaming service and it's a tech company and it's cool. And the stock market is really excited about that. And I think really excited about the notion that this is a 10-year deal, at least a 5-year deal, potentially a 20-year deal. And that marks a lot of certainty.
How does this deal with WWE stack up against previous deals that Netflix has brokered?
This is exponentially more expensive. They've made some pretty big deals in the past. I know their deal with Ryan Murphy for all of his, you know, numbers of series.
I love that, Chelsea.
Gotta help Peyton.
We hate Peyton way more than you do.
Think I should kill him?
What? Yes, I do.
With something around $300 million. When they got the sequels to Rian Johnson's Knives Out, that for the two films, it was something like $450
million. Yeah, that is hooey. Shut up! Shut up with that Kentucky Fried Foghorn Leghorn draw!
Obviously, Stranger Things is doing something like $10 to $30 million an episode.
I found the most extraordinary thing of all.
But that's the million. We're in the billion here, and I think people forget how big of a jump it is between millions and billions.
What makes WWE's move to Netflix so significant? Why is this so different to just another TV deal?
Well, a platform like Netflix, you don't have limitations of what cable gives you as far as having to ask permissions for overruns and all these sorts of things. Like, there's more flexibility in how you present and what you present. I think there's a ton of upside for Netflix as well. Not only are you getting a huge fan base coming over, but they've been kind of saying that they wanted to get into the live game for a while because things with seasons are by nature finite. And this gives you something that is live and isn't seasonal, right? Some drawbacks, you know, are not in the channel flipping arena anymore. Now, SmackDown still might be. I don't know if people still flip channels anymore. Are we still relying on those young Sheldon lead-ins the same way that we used to be, right? But you now have to log into a service. If I want to watch PLEs and I want to access the library, that's on Peacock. But then if I want to watch Monday Night Raw, that's on Netflix, and who knows where SmackDown lands. It is splintering your brand across a couple of different platforms. I'm wondering if there's going to be a little bit of login fatigue. This is definitely an interesting, I don't want to say experiment, because I think that makes it sound riskier than it probably is. If you get $5 billion over 10 years, they're kind of the first ones on this forefront for pro wrestling to go in this direction and in a major way.
Now, this isn't Netflix's first foray into the wrestling world. In fact, they've had some great success stories through wrestling, haven't they?
Yeah, so they had Lucha Underground, of all things.
Ring the bell!
From beyond the grave, the man of a thousand deaths, Mil Muertes!
Covered in blood, broken, beaten, with the fans on their feet, Phoenix has risen from the ashes once again.
It was just batty, the show, basically. It was Rey Mysterio, all these Lucha Libre guys, but you had like, oh, he's been murdered and stuff, and he's been killed off. Just really good stuff.
And they've also had some great success with the show GLOW.
Sorry, what's GLOW?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Are you hiring actors to play wrestlers, or are we the wrestlers?
Go! Yes.
They've also partnered with WWE Films on movie productions like The Main Event. They even had a WWE Choose Your Own Adventure special called Escape the Undertaker.
My anger will force you to confront your deepest, darkest fears.
Who has a morgue in their house?
I mean, it is The Undertaker.
Most recently, the Netflix audience has seen the very real world of independent professional wrestling in capturing the day-to-day goings-on at Ohio Valley Wrestling in their hit show, Wrestlers.
Al is one of the best wrestling minds, but you know what? Al's not the best with money. This is the summer to take it to the next level. We need to create a summer tour.
A lot of times I get told something to do from people that have no clue how it works.
If we don't start doing better, there won't be an OVW.
I've spent 40 years making a name for myself in this business. I'll be damned if I'm going to let anybody ruin it.
Wrestling fans have proven they will come to Netflix. But can a Netflix audience become wrestling fans? Brian Kennison is producer, head of marketing, and lead commentator for Ohio Valley Wrestling.
There was general interest from a producer from Netflix named Alejandro. He had, I guess, a passing relationship with Matt Jones, who was, you know, the majority owner. Then Alejandro happened to cross paths with Greg Wheatley, the guy who created Wrestlers and Cheer and Last Chance U and all that. And he happened to have a chance conversation with Alejandro, and it caught Greg's attention. You know, Greg's all about the underdog. And then Greg came back probably three or four more times, just getting more and more footage, more and more footage. And then finally they're like, okay, let's greenlight this thing. And then they spent the whole summer with us. Right when the doc dropped, a little before, we brought actually some Netflix execs came in. We had, you know, some of their marketing folks. We had some of their higher ups that actually came to Davis Arena, and some of them were very open. They didn't care about wrestling. They saw it as something they didn't really have any interest in. They saw it as, you know, a flea market sort of entertainment. You know, they were skeptical about this whole thing. They'd never seen wrestling a day in their life. Then they watched it and they couldn't believe, you know, what they saw and, you know, how much it actually took. And then I think they saw the heart in it and the actual story and depth in it. And they actually saw how the wheels on the train actually move. And I think that changed a lot of perceptions. Netflix had a huge impact on us. You know, it took about 2 weeks for it to really hit, but once it hit, you know, we've been selling out the arena week after week after week, and it upped our value as well. We saw all, you know, everyone across the board was getting more social media engagement, more, you know, more followers, a lot heavier traffic. OVW social media alone like went into the millions, and it stayed there since then. I mean, it's been a boom, and there's no denying it. But Al likes to say, phase what happens when preparation and opportunity meet. And so I think had we got all this attention and we sucked, it wouldn't have done us any good. So we got a lot of attention. We were all ready for it, so we were all really, you know, well-trained. And I think Al has really got us in a good place. So we've been capitalizing on a lot of good sponsorship opportunities. We as an organization did not change. We kept doing what we were doing. Netflix gave us a opportunity to get in front of people and show what we're doing. And I think that really resonated with a lot of people. So Netflix has been incalculably great as far as how much business has been brought in because of it.
Netflix were clearly happy because they've got in bed with WWE. Now, we don't, this is just speculation, but has the success of wrestlers led to this deal? I mean, doesn't look like it's hurt.
Some higher ups at Netflix seeing the reality is of, you know, of wrestling, and then seeing what comes out of that product, what comes out of that struggle and that sacrifice, I think that maybe did warm them up to the idea of wrestling. I mean, not that it being a $1 billion organization and having, you know, like John Cena and The Rock and Hulk Hogan involved didn't hurt, I'm assuming. But, you know, they can go, hey, I like that wrestler's thing. Maybe we throw our hat into the WWE ring. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I don't think it necessarily closes any sort of doors for us. If anything, I think we're two different types of content. You know, WWE, their wrestlers never going to have necessarily the struggle ours do. They're never going to have the same issues, the same, you know, hurdles that they have to overcome that we do. And that's what I hope that they would, higher ups would see as well.
There are so many people that are getting into the world of wrestling because of non-WWE related wrestling material, whether it's the wrestlers show on Netflix, like the docuseries that they have. Heels on Stars was doing really well. The Iron Claw was huge. I have met so many people in the last 6 months who have suddenly just done humongous deep dives into wrestling history. And people are starting to see through social media a lot of the wrestlers that do become viral, either from WWE or AEW, where they're like, what is this? This doesn't look anything like what wrestling looked like when I was a kid. So there is an increased interest. And I do think we are going to get a burst of newer wrestling fans, but I think it's going to be newer wrestling fans of people that either stopped watching wrestling after childhood, as many people did, people who haven't looked at wrestling since the Attitude Era, or it's going to be a lot of adults who have never considered wrestling, but now suddenly are. And I don't know, maybe this will make enough money and then Netflix will pull their hat out of their behinds and we will finally get Glow Season 3 and I can stop being mad at them.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm intrigued about how we will gauge the success of this, because historically the ratings have always led the conversation quarter on quarter. How has this done? How was the third hour? What can we do in the second hour? Surely all of that is moot now.
It's gone. The ratings war thing will never be back. It's been a big thing with Netflix, particularly during the SAG-AFTRA strike, was that they don't release ratings numbers or like viewership numbers, or like there was no sort of way to get a bonus for actors based on how well a show did. The only metric essentially we'll have will be a bit like Warner Brothers Discovery with AEW, where they just tout how happy they are.
The source on a lot of Netflix viewership numbers is source, trust me, bro. Like, that's kind of how they operate and how they've always operated. Sure, they have their, you know, their top 10. I'm sure this will pop up every week as one of the, you know, top 10 most watched things. But what that means in the grand scheme of things, will never have a full transparent answer. The only thing I could possibly think of is if there is a push where they have to be more transparent, because now there's a lot more people that just got added to their payroll performance-wise.
They have and will always have their internal secret viewership data. They know who's watching how much. I would think as an advertiser, wouldn't you want a third party to tell you, yes, this has a million viewers or whatever it is? I'm hoping that Nielsen will start to track more streaming live broadcasts. We've seen that with the NFL. They have tracked the TV ratings for all of the Amazon Prime Video Thursday night football broadcasts, so we know what those are in a like-to-like comparison with other telecasts. They have tracked the two NFL games that have aired on Peacock exclusively. It's a year away. Who knows if Netflix will get it together and start to track that stuff in the same way. But Netflix will know internally.
It wouldn't shock me if some numbers do leak out from within Netflix, because people will be trying to get sources now, I guess. On the grand scheme of things, the only metric we'll basically have is, are Netflix happy in terms of touting press releases, and do they cancel it after 5 years?
Welcome to WWE Network, a whole new concept in television. The first ever 24/7 streaming service, scheduled with live and original programming and an on-demand library with thousands of hours of content.
Finally!
A big question for us in the UK especially is, do you think this probably spells the end of the WWE Network going forward?
Probably. Mm. For up to 20 years,
that,
yes.
I was so scared you'd say that, Brad.
I don't think that they would just make it go away. Why not monetize it somehow? If they don't want the rights, if they're not going to use the rights, then maybe some form of the network would still exist. It would be dumb to just not bother to monetize that.
It does kind of feel like it's going to the chop shop a little bit. Like we're getting this sense of the parts now being auctioned off a little bit more than the whole network being sold somewhere. We've seen the documentary style stuff be shopped out to a million other places. Everybody's doing WWE documentaries. NXT get a TV rights deal. Well, who knows what that's going to look like? But everything that was kind of in the WWE network has been established on the WWE network. And then under the Nick Khan era, it feels like that's gotten licensed out to other places for more money. So there's possibilities that pieces of the network get packaged with UFC and sold somewhere if they wanted to try and get creative about the way that they're selling it. I think that's going to be interesting. I think we'll see what TKO does, because they might have a different approach that we're not even considering.
A lot of people have said this will migrate over to Netflix, but forgive me, I'm a wrestling fan of a certain vintage. I cannot, for the life of me, see Netflix clogged up with episodes of WWF Superstars from 1994.
Now Razor locking up with Steve Smith.
What they've got in the US is they've got like a sport side, like banner on the side. So you've got like films, TV programs, sports. So it wouldn't shock me if they add that sort of like banner on in Netflix in the UK, where it'll just be WWE. Click on there, and basically the whole network is just on Netflix that way.
A deal like this will without doubt begin some people on their wrestling journey. But for one sector, it could lead to the very end.
I'm Paul Benson, and I'm the owner-operator of Hooked On Wrestling Events. So Hooked On Wrestling was an idea that was born out of a few of us getting together each year, a few that worked on a TNA tour back in the day. That weekend would always end with the Royal Rumble. So we always had this idea to get together and have a big party at somebody else's house for the Rumble. It grew and grew and grew. There was about 10 or 15 of us, and then we kind of outgrew the house. So that turned into organizing a party in a bar, which we got about 60, 70 people for. Now we're 11 years down the line, and our Royal Rumble party this weekend is probably going to have something in the region of about 2,500 people. If you were a football fan or a rugby fan or whatever else, you could go down the pub and watch your sport with your friends, but there was really nothing for wrestling fans to have that communal experience. So we thought we'd jump in, and I know wrestling fans are a little bit more sort of, they like a bit of wackiness and a bit of fun. So because these shows don't start till like 12, 1 in the morning, we thought, let's warm up, let's throw in, you know, we've got cosplay contests, we've got quizzes and prize giveaways. Everyone can watch the WWE pay-per-views in a home and perfectly great experience watching it on your own or with a couple of friends. But we wanted to know whether there was value and a mileage in bringing literally hundreds of fans together to watch it under one roof. We will always do things by the books, as our venue partner doing by the books. So at the minute, our events are broadcast on TNT Sports box office and commercially available in these venues. When this program moves to Netflix, as it stands, that won't be the case. You can't legally show Netflix or most of the streaming platforms in a public commercial space. And unless that changes between now and January 2025, that would bring us to a crashing halt, because we're not going to be doing any things that aren't allowed, aren't legal. We just have to let it go. There's a precedent been set when Amazon Prime took on rights for the Premier League. They took on those two blocks of Premier League games throughout the season, if you remember. And at first, they weren't available in commercial premises either. But over time, they worked out a deal, and the last few have been available for pubs to air. Now, obviously, the Premier League and WWE events are two completely different animals in the UK, and there's a lot more Premier League fans than there are WWE fans. You know, they're certainly not going to change their entire business model just to let a few thousand of us watch WrestleMania in a bar. But having said that, you never know. Like, there could be some sort of share with a pay-per-view provider like a TNT Sports or a Sky Sports that allows those premium events to be aired on pay-per-view. Netflix could change their model if they take on more live sport. You know, if they do take on a football property or something like that in the next year, maybe there will be that critical mass to sort of strike a deal commercially with people. So, you know, I know how the game works. I've been there myself, and I'm not hopeful. But at the same time, you never say never.
They may well pivot, but it would have to be from WWE lobbying if they were going to do it. It depends how much WWE values these events, basically. If WWE looks at it and goes, we can get 550 people in a room watching our show, we can make some extra cash off it, why wouldn't you say no to that? But it might also contravene like Netflix's business model. I mean, we've seen it in the UK this year where Netflix has been cracking down on password sharing. So Netflix might look at it and go, why would we want 550 people in a room when we can get them all to get Netflix subscriptions to pay us lots of money?
The move to a streaming model may not just mean the conclusion of watching wrestling with your mates in a big public space. It could possibly mean the end of something even bigger. Cable television.
There's about 70 million homes right now that get USA Network. There's about 69 million homes in the US, maybe 70 million homes, that get Netflix. And over time, is Netflix going to grow? Maybe slowly, gradually. Is television going to continue to decline? There's no sign of that stop. If anything, it's been accelerating in the last couple quarters. So we're probably entering a time within the minimum duration of this contract, which is 5 years, where Netflix will be the thing that has more reach than cable, arguably, in terms of reach, in terms of people being able to watch Raw, at least in the US, that's a good thing.
What's interesting to me about this is Netflix isn't really aligned with a TV station, right? Peacock is owned by NBC, all these things. And they're not synonymous with sports. So them kind of jumping into this on the other side also intrigues me. It definitely feels like cable is going down, down, and down. I think AEW probably just got a huge boost. I think cable's gonna want to be clinging to this. If it does work and live sports follow, I think you might be in real trouble, because what is the incentive to keep live cable alive?
Right now, the writers for Ridiculousness on MTV are on strike, and Ridiculousness is kind of the only show MTV has at this point.
I knew a insult was coming, so my psychic mind just let that whip right over.
The same way that South Park is really the only show Cartoon Network has.
What do you mean, what do you do? You just fight each other.
How?
How? I've never been in a fight before.
Me neither!
Ah. Oh, dude, come on!
WWE is kind of the only thing the USA Network is doing right now. So the big question is, well, now if this big flagship program leaves, does that mean that channel is going to dissolve? Can they survive without WWE? So that's really been the big question, is what is this going to mean for cable? Because if this works, if Netflix and WWE works, and this is a good partnership, I will not be surprised if a bunch of other huge programs also leave cable and pivot completely over into a streaming model.
175 is a great number. 25 below asking, but you know you're never going to get 200. Don't worry, these deals are always like this.
And effectively kill cable, which means we're all going to have to explain to our grandparents how to use apps now.
What does this mean for the wider wrestling landscape?
I mean, the wrestling boom is very much here, is it not? Wrestling is... I mean, it's never going to get TV ratings like we saw in the Monday Night Raws, but... Monday Night Wars. But wrestling has arguably never been more popular than it is today.
There's this great thing in WrestleNomics that it usually trickles down, right? Like, the if the cadence is somebody like Fox invests in WWE, or now Netflix invests in WWE, that makes other people feel more secure about investing in wrestling. And so you get this trickle down effect, and then we get oversaturated and these smaller guys close up shop, and hopefully we don't go back to a monopoly again, right? But what you hope is that now giving $1 billion to AEW feels like a bargain, because you're getting Collision, Rampage, ROH, and Dynamite, and the viewership for that. I think AEW's response is that it benefits greatly from this. They've got a lot of options, and if they want to bump Max up, they're going to have to play ball too. So I'm very intrigued to see. Very intrigued to see what happens with this.
The advantage that has been spun to me for AEW in light of this news is that it removes WWE as an option for a lot of international players. So the international TV networks across the world are no longer going to have WWE as an option if they want wrestling.
Dynamite, Collision, Rampage may end up being like hybrid shows where they air on TNT and TBS and on the Max streaming service at the same time. We've seen examples of that already. I think it was like NBA games and stuff like that in the US. So that could be an option, but also AEW's library. Sell it to Max. Max now can't get WWE content. Get more AEW. That'll lead to a big bag of money for Tony Khan when it does happen.
In the days and the weeks to come, no doubt more information on this game-changing deal will come to light as WWE prepare for their biggest move ever to join Netflix for $5 billion. For the very latest, you can check out cultaholic.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.